This is Margo of the ChingonaHomesteader.com, and welcome to episode 6 of the Chingona Homesteader podcast. So in the last episode, we talked about tiny farms, and I shared how, although I'd never lived in a tiny house, I have had tiny homes in forms of apartments in big cities. I lived in New York City and in the New York City area for a long time. And my husband and I also lived in Boston and in the Boston area in quite small, you know, if they were freestanding houses, they would definitely be considered tiny homes. And I know when you have a tiny kitchen, whether it's in a tiny home or in an apartment, if you live in a city, for example, real estate is precious in a tiny kitchen. And so, you know, you have to really think very carefully before you purchase. You can't just go and buy like every single appliance that's on late night TV, as I am wont to do. Oh, here's something about me. I love to buy things off the television. It's a thing about me. I adore buying things off of TV. I just always have. But anyway, if you have a tiny apartment kitchen or a tiny house kitchen, or perhaps just, you know, maybe you live in an older home, as I do, you know, where, you know, back in the day, kitchens were really small. And so, you know, back before they had Foreman grills and dehydrators and KitchenAid mixers and all those sorts of things. So I know you have to think really hard. You have to have, I think, if you're going to bring it into your house, it has to serve multiple purposes. You got to be able to use it for a lot of things. That's the thing. That's the key, I think, to living in a small space. It's every single thing, you know, if every single thing that you have in your home serves more than one purpose, or as many things as possible are multi-purpose, then that is a very efficient home. And so although I have some single purpose kitchen gadgets that I enjoy, like, you know, I consider the microwave to be a single purpose gadget. I have a small microwave. Like, I can fit a mug of coffee in there, but I couldn't put like a roasting chicken in there or anything like that. It's little, it's very small. Anyway, so one appliance that I find myself turning to again and again and again and again is one that I was extremely skeptical about purchasing. I felt very guilty when I hit the commit to buy button to purchase this item. I felt like I was jumping on the bandwagon, and I was doing it just because all the cool kids in my, you know, my group of friends were doing it. I went and I bought a pressure cooker. I have had friends raving about their pressure cookers for at least 2 years and all the amazing things that they were doing with them. And I thought, like, what am I going to do with a pressure cooker? I have a slow cooker. I have an air fryer. What do I want with a pressure cooker? And but I found one, and here's another tip. I found one for super cheap on eBay, so I didn't spend a lot of money. They tend to run around $100, but I think I might have spent $40 on mine. I got a really good deal on a brand new pressure cooker, a sort of middle-sized one, not the largest one, but not the smallest one either. I got kind of a middle-sized pressure cooker on eBay. And I bought that one because it's red and all my appliances are red. There's another thing about me. Not knowing what on earth was I going to do. The reason I bought the pressure cooker was to do canning. That was kind of what I would only use it for. And by the way, if you are somebody who does canning, or if you're like me, you're a casual canner. You know, I don't always do canning. I'm not canning like all year round, at least not yet. But every now and again, I'll get myself a bumper crop of lemons or oranges, especially because I live in California. And oh my gosh, speaking of living in California, there is only, I don't know, I hope only in Southern California. I don't know if you guys can hear this. There's a police helicopter circling over my head right now because, like I said, it's California. we have these copters all the time. It's partly because where I am right now is very close to police headquarters where the helicopters take off from. So there's that. I'm a casual canner. I might make some marmalade when the oranges and lemons are, when oranges and lemons come in California, which is most of the year, but especially this time of the year. I literally right now have both of my, what do you call those? Produce bins in my fridge crammed with lemons. And so, I mean, you can only do so many things with lemons, and lemon marmalade is a great thing to do with lemons. So I originally bought the pressure cooker just to make canning a little bit easier, which it does. It's super easy to do canning if you have an electric pressure cooker. It's pretty foolproof, and I recommend it for that alone, but there are scads more things. If you are a homesteader, or if you are somebody who likes to make things from scratch, that an inexpensive pressure cooker can make so much easier for you. So stay tuned. Up in the next segment, we're going to go over some other things besides canning that you can do with a pressure cooker on the Chingona Homesteader Podcast. So what else can you use the pressure cooker for? So many things. It is, first of all, I think of all, and I love rice. We eat a lot. I have to say we eat more rice in our house than bread, even though we have a whole episode just about bread. And I do make bread like twice a week, but you know, it's mostly just for the kids' school lunches that the bread is mostly for that. On a day-to-day basis, we don't eat that much bread. We eat a lot more rice than bread. And let me tell you, I have tried every method of cooking rice known to man. I'm pretty sure. I've tried all the ways that you can cook rice. And, you know, every kind of, I don't even know how many rice cookers I've bought over the years. So, with some authority, I feel I can say that I think that the pressure cooker is the easiest, fastest, most foolproof way to make rice, especially brown rice. Like if you're somebody who makes rice a lot, you know that brown rice is a little harder to get right than white rice. And the pressure cooker is just, and what I love about the pressure cooker is that it's set it and forget it. I love things that are set it and forget it because, as I said in the bread episode, I am not somebody who can mind appliances. I can't be keeping track of how long something was in the oven or how long something was boiling on the stove, because whatever that is going to burn, because my mind can't keep track of those things. I need things that I can set and forget. And this is what the pressure cooker is. So you dump in the rice, you dump in the water. Generally speaking, if you're making rice in the pressure cooker, at least in my pressure cooker, it's two parts water to one part rice. So if I'm cooking a cup of rice, I put 2 cups of water in, and then mine has a rice setting on it. It has a setting for white rice, it has a setting for brown rice, and it has a setting for wild rice. And I have never not had it come out perfect. It's always perfect. So there's one thing that I use it for all the time. My other favorite thing that I do multiple times a week in the pressure cooker is prepare beans from scratch. So we eat a lot of beans. I've always eaten a lot of beans, probably because I'm a Mexican American. So we eat a lot of beans, and my husband is, beans are probably his favorite food. Although he's not Mexican American. I always joke, he's the whitest man in the United States is who I'm married to. And beans are far and away his favorite food. He eats beans pretty much every day. And so we were buying a lot of cans of beans. And one thing I know is that, well, and I have to say, although they've improved a lot, canned beans, no matter what, how good they are, or they now have the ones that are boxed in the shelf stable boxes, you know, but cooked, they're never as good as when you make them from scratch, ever, ever, ever. And the pressure cooker is the so amazing, easy way to make beans from scratch. So you go to, plus it's cheaper. Oh my goodness, is it cheaper? So you can buy, you know, dry beans, any kind of bean you like, any kind of bean you like. So if you want to make garbanzo beans, like for hummus, this is a great way to do it. And all you do is you put 1 pound of dry beans rinsed. You do want to rinse them off because they can be dirty and dusty. So make sure you clean them. You just give them a good rinse. But you throw the uncooked beans in the pressure cooker, 1 pound of uncooked beans, and 2 cups of water, and season with some salt or whatever else you might want to season with. And you cook it in the pressure cooker for, how long do they cook? I think they cook for like 45 minutes. I think it takes about 45 minutes. But again, it's set it and forget it. Different pressure cookers have different settings. But generally speaking, about 45 minutes will cook you a pound of beans. And then you can, and then I like to just have those beans in the fridge. I can throw it in chili. I can throw it in omelets. I can throw it in salads. It is the greatest thing ever. And it saves me. It's already paid for itself just in the beans. Just in not having to buy all of those cans of beans, because bulk beans that are dry, as you probably are aware, way cheaper. And then bulk cooking in the pressure cooker, I guess, is sort of my point. It's fantastic. If you manage to score yourself a large cut of meat for a great price, pressure cook that thing. It comes out beautiful and tender. It is so yummy. I just made a brisket in that thing the other day. It didn't even last 3 days because it was so delicious. My whole family just polished that off pretty fast. Another amazing thing to bulk cook in the pressure cooker is potatoes. I love potatoes. We eat potatoes a lot in our house, but I hate waiting for potatoes to cook. And I also hate microwaved potatoes. They get all dry and mealy. And I don't even understand the point of a microwave potato. But if you take those potatoes, same potatoes, and throw them in the pressure cooker, just put out as many as you can. So, rinse them again. Did you want to rinse them? Make sure they're clean. Throw them uncooked into the pressure cooker, as many as you can possibly fit, and put you about an inch or 2 inches of water in with them and cook it on the vegetable setting. It is so fantastic and convenient if you have these pre-cooked. They come out tasting like deliciously baked potatoes, but they're not like boiled potatoes. They're not as watery as boiled potatoes. They're much more akin to, good old-fashioned baked potatoes like you would make in the oven. They're more like that. But having those pre-cooked in your refrigerator all the time is so convenient, because you can easily, then if you microwave it, then, it's already cooked and you microwave it, you're just heating it up. It's night and day between that and a microwave baked potato. You can have a baked potato. You can cut it up and make home fries. I chop it up and put it in my, again, put it in my omelets, make like a Spanish style tortilla, put it in soups. Anything you want to put it in that you don't want to wait around for the potatoes to cook, you have these already pre-baked potatoes, and those things cook crazy fast. I think they cook in like 10 or 15 minutes. You can do an entire pot, like 5 pounds of potatoes, easily in a pressure cooker. Another thing pressure cooker is awesome for is a really tough squashes, like a butternut squash. I don't know if you've ever tried to cook a butternut squash in the oven. It takes you a good long time. And again, you have to keep an eye on it, which I am unable to do. So I put it in the pressure cooker. I set it and forget it. It cooks up my butternut squash beautifully. And the other thing about butternut squash that you cook in the pressure cooker, and I don't know why this is, it's something to do with science that I don't understand. But it freezes beautifully, much more than if you baked it or if you boiled it or did any other method of preparing the butternut squash. Pressure cooking the butternut squash, somehow the flavors are so much stronger when you pressure cook them. I don't know why, but that's just the way it is. So you can make applesauce, you can make preserves, you can make the jam, not just do canning, but you can actually prepare the stuff in the pressure cooker. You can make marmalade in a flash in the pressure cooker. So it's something that you can use. I haven't even explored all of the uses for there's some way that you can make yogurt, which is, I haven't tried yet, but it is so worth the real estate that it's going to take up in your kitchen. I know, I totally get it. If you live in a small kitchen, you're living in a place that has a small kitchen. I totally get you why you may be reluctant to try it. But if there's one thing, one appliance that I can recommend to you, especially if you're trying to do urban homesteading, and particularly if you're trying to do this in an apartment setting, I cannot recommend the pressure cooker enough. And look for some great deals. They are out there on your closeout sites, on eBay. Don't go and buy it from the, from your local appliance store. Do some research online, and you don't have to spend a lot of money. It doesn't need to be the biggest, baddest name brand pressure cooker to be amazing. I can't even tell you the name brand of my pressure cooker. It's some rinky-dink brand, but it works fantastic. And anyway, so I hope you will try pressure cooking, or maybe I've given you some ideas for stuff you haven't tried that you already have a pressure cooker. And if you have ideas that I didn't mention, by all means, share them with me. I am dying to know about them. You can tweet me. You can send me something on Instagram. You can find me on Facebook. On Facebook, just search for the Chingona Homesteader. Or you can find me on any other social media platform. All of my call-outs everywhere are at She's Nacho Mama, SHESNACHOMAMA. And if you would like to email me, my email address is shesnachomama@gmail.com. So this has been episode 6 of the Chingona Homesteader podcast. You can listen to us everywhere you enjoy podcasts. And please check out my other shows, Book Versus Movie, Did I Just Eat That Out Loud, and Resisting Bitch Face. The Chingona Homesteader podcast is a Bungalow Productions production. And I'll be back soon with more tales from an urban homestead by a Chingona. Talk to you later, guys. Bye.